11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch.
Long pause there.
Yeah, I was kind of contemplating how I wanted to approach this. Jesse, I saw this over the weekend. It's wonderful.
Let's do it like Ken Rosenthal did it. Did you see
Kenny
Rosenthal?
Oh, my Lord. I did.
Bow tie.
What are we doing here,
do you,
man?
Jason, this is a serious question. Do you think media folks, and especially national media folks, take themselves maybe a bit too serious?
All right, a couple things. I don't think this is a matter of taking yourself too seriously.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think this is a matter of being a jerk. Ooh, and being an inconsiderate. I don't care how big of a deal you are. And look, Ken Rosenthal is great at what he does. I don't know him personally.
What exactly does he do? I don't even know. He's on
He writes for The Athletic. He's on Fox. He's one of the preeminent voices on Major League Baseball. I don't know him at all. I would, again, I would say that we have all had moments that we were not proud of, and I would hope that none of us, myself included, would be judged on our worst moments.
Sure.
Okay?
I agree with that.
Now, what I would add, though, is that I feel like if I were to bump someone and knock them down, my reflex would be to help them up. It would not be to turn and look at them and basically look at them like, how dare you get in my way that I knocked you down, and look at them with disdain. It is a terrible look for him. Because I just don't, like, if you knock someone over inadvertently, clearly this was not on purpose. I'm not saying it was intentional. But when you see the person has fallen down, is not your first reaction to help them up? Yeah. How is it not? That's my question.
Yeah.
Even if there's a second where you're stunned that you did this, that was what bothered me about that. On the flip side, the Brewers win in walk-off fashion. Again, Andrew Monasterio.
That's it.
Did I do okay there?
Yep, you're good.
But afterward, maybe these are separate games, because the whole weekend I was walking around an apple orchard. But Bob Uecker had penned a note that he had given to Mark Attanasio for when the Brewers, if they did indeed clinch a playoff berth, to be read to the team. This is some pretty cool stuff. Jesse, take it away.
Oh no. Our videos play. We don't have the audio with it. What's going on?
Well, this
there?
Is really good audio.
This is. I mean, the what he wrote is so.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I don't know why that's happening. Give me a second. I'll pull it up. I'll get the audio here.
Okay, Jesse's going to work on fixing this. Tausch, had you seen this previously?
I did. I saw it on Brewer's Twitter that put up, and
it had the audio.
It was awesome. It had audio, yeah, which makes, again, you know, I know everybody's into video now, right? It was just awesome. And I don't know if we will get it, but
yeah, we're good
it was
to go
one
here.
Of those, oh, you got it. It was surreal. Like, it really was surreal. So, Jesse, why don't you roll that and let's, for all of us audio listeners, maybe we can hear it.
This is just the audio, no video this time.
Okay.
I got a letter today from Uke. And before we toast, I want to read it. Thanks, Mark. Thought it was fitting. The last time that we celebrated, Uke was with us. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. it's a great league. No day games after night games. no shadows, but you got all the sticky you need to have up here. Told the big guy about you guys. You play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in the group with this uncommon goodness. The fact that you have the best record in baseball, the best road record in baseball, has caught his attention. You don't really need me. I know you guys really don't need me, but I've got to tell you, I'll be on the headset every night watching. And don't forget to take it all in, enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other. Bob Uecker. So let's toast to him and to our team what we've achieved so far. Hey, hey.
Tausch, when you watch that, I don't know, I got a little bit goosebumpy and a little teary-eyed that he wrote that letter knowing that he didn't have much time left and that they saved that for that moment. I thought that was really, really neat.
Yeah, I don't have a ton else to add. I think you realized it, how impactful Uke was on that clubhouse for all these years with all these different teams. And, you know, you hope that, you know, when I think it was Levo when he joined us kind of talked about that spiritual connection and, you know, you're kind of hoping that this will be that galvanizing force that helps this team mm-hmm. get to that next level. And that's a lot to put on a team. But you just hope that that is a part of this whole thing, because it would be, for someone that loves a story, I don't know if you're going to find a better one than that.
No, definitely not. I think
Rosenthal would agree with us on that one. Am I right?
All right, we need to get ready for Dom, who's going to join us to talk more Brewers. So we're on to that next. After
it's been a real schmorgy. It's been a real schmorgy Monday. I like this. Schmorgy.
I'm still torn on schmorging, but I know you're not torn on.
It's
hard
a
rock.
Rare. You don't schmorg during if the Packers had a game, we wouldn't be schmorging.
Fair.
I know you get antsy. Yes. Today's a good day for a schmorg.
And it's also a good day for you to tell us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
It's always fun to talk about the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, featuring over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, more than 1,300 slots, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. They have that great live entertainment venue as well, 23,000 square feet, premium concert and event space, more than 1,000 feet of LED screens, watch games, experience up to 2,000 guests. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, about an hour from the greater Madison Metroplex.
Dom joins us next.
I'll tell you, you know what? Let's get to Dom. I was just going to talk about Birmingham and the Metro, how much bigger it is than I thought, but we'll break that. I'll break down Alabama cities tomorrow. How's that?
Thank you.
Dom, next. Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
What a fun time it is to be a Brewers fan. Sure, Jesse. You know, I came across in my computer, by the way, the video clip of you in the bleachers on that home run that we had tracked down. You're almost as excited these days as you were that day with Usher George nearby. And we're excited to have our Brewers guy presented by Neurospine Center of Wisconsin, covering the Brewers' postseason push, presented by Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. It is Dom Cotroneo on Wildy and Tausch. Dom, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're great. Hey, one of the things that I thought was really cool was not just the letter from Uke from the great beyond, but the fact that they still celebrate clinching a playoff berth. There's like this, I don't know, there's the, like, oh, well, we've got bigger things to accomplish. Yeah, I get it. You do. But you can celebrate each little accomplishment, and you do it in perspective, and it's getting to be old hat for this team, and yet they still take the time to celebrate it on some level while not thinking that they've accomplished anything of major significance. Is that kind of part and parcel of what this team is about?
It's a 162-game marathon, and then you throw in the 25 games of spring training, the 2 weeks of workouts before that. I mean, it is a year-round sport. You know, when you think about it, you have to be ready on Valentine's Day to show up to spring training. You know, back in the day, guys showed up on March 1st to spring training to get into shape, whereas now you are expected to arrive ready to go. You go from Valentine's Day and hopefully to Halloween, okay? Like, it's a year-round sport. That's why this sport celebrates every single time you get to keep playing. And I think, you know, Tausch, you can bring me in on this because you can back me up in that. It's not that football players don't celebrate whenever you make a playoff berth, but I think explain to me the dynamic of, like, baseball, it is such a, you know, all 26 guys are together so often, whereas on a giant football roster, you're kind of sequestered into your position groups and that sort of thing. That's why we don't quite see it the same in the NFL, perhaps.
Well, I think there's that, and I think there's, you know, I think the beer booze component too. You're not spritzing champagne. I don't know, you know, what how that all plays out, but yeah, the football season is a long grind, but it is not as day to day as what baseball guys go through. So I think that's another piece to it. But are we not excited to get hats and T-shirts? Absolutely, we are. We love getting our NFC North championship hat, and then it immediately switches to what's next, just like it does for these guys. Dom, can you kind of get into the meat and like how meaningful that was for those guys in that clubhouse when Pat Murphy read that note?
Yeah, so I don't want to burst bubbles here, but I've always been under the impersonation that this was a if you pen this to this team letter. That's how I have always interpreted it. But it feels like this is a runaway train that nobody can grab because there's a lot of team specifics in that note. But that doesn't take any of the sentimentality out of it because day one messaging from Pat Murphy, we've experienced a great loss, but he's not going to miss a pitch. And I think that's kind of reminding these guys, you know, there are a handful of guys that never got to experience a Bob Uecker celebration in the clubhouse and the legendary stories and the sitting in the corner, like his chair in the clubhouse still is marked with a photo of him right there where he'd sit and have story time. And those were the best 20 minutes you'd spend in the clubhouse every day. So that, in my eyes, was a reminder from Murph to the guys that there's a higher power here that we need to acknowledge and recognize and remember why we're doing this. And a reminder of what that message was from day one, that Bob Uecker's not going to miss a pitch. And he hasn't missed a pitch. He's been down in the front row. It's what I've been saying all season long. And it's been a really cool outpouring of support. I thought Murph nailed it, by the way. Whether it's, you know, his writing or Uke's writing, it's awesome. I thought it was really, really well done.
My bubble has burst, I'm not going to lie. There's been a bursting.
Well, I guess the question is, Uke gave that note to Mark, and then did Murph just like ad lib a couple things? I thought that it was something because it was an envelope, and it was kind of pulled out. Maybe we all were kind of under that impression.
We wanted it to be true, for sure.
For sure.
Of course. Don't we want everything to be true, but I think it doesn't take anything away from the moment and how the team is connected and, you know, a subdued champagne toast and a blessing. I think that's a really good way to do this, to remind everybody what they're doing this for. And quite frankly, the Brewers understand. I mean, they're wearing Bob Uecker's signature on their sleeve all year. He is still as much a part of this team, even though he's not on this earth with us. And I love the third catcher line.
So, Dom, I'm looking at the postseason picture right now on MLB.com. The Brewers and Phillies have both clinched. If the season ended today, they would have the two byes on the National League side of the bracket. Then the 4-5 matchup would be Cubs-Padres, with the winner advancing to face the Brewers, and the 3-6 matchup would be the Dodgers and the Mets, with the winner facing the Phillies. Are you thinking in playoff terms yet? Because you do this every single day. This is your team. Are you thinking about matchups, or are you just sort of like, hey, we'll get to October when we get to October?
You're absolutely thinking about matchups now. That's what these final 2 weeks are about. And even with today's off day and next Thursday being the last off day of the regular season, that the Brewers have made a slight tweak to their rotation. You know, they moved Brandon Woodruff back. They give him a few extra days rest. They've been trying to give him more rest. The other thing that moving him back does is it gets him on the cycle to be game one, Freddy Peralta, game two, Brandon Woodruff, game three, Quinn Priester. Now, in my opinion, I could see Woodruff and Priester flipped in the playoffs, where I could see Priester going in game two and Woodruff going in game three. The reason I say that is because in the NLDS, you only need three starting pitchers for five games, because there's extra off days, meaning whoever starts game one and game two can start on regular rest for game four and game five. And we haven't seen Brandon Woodruff start on regular rest. He's only done that once. So regular rest in baseball is 4 days off. You pitch on the fifth day. I don't think we're going to see that from Brandon Woodruff in the playoffs. So that's why I think we're going to see eventually it flip back. Freddy Peralta game one, Priester game two, Woodruff game three. So he pitches once in the NLDS.
So,
where does that leave the Miz?
I think the Miz goes to the bullpen, and he becomes, in the words of Pat Murphy, an out-getter. You know, we've heard Craig Counsell say that in years past, too. He's an out-getter. In the playoffs, you're counting down 27 outs. That's the only thing that matters. You don't care about the winning pitcher. You know who's got the last three outs. That's Trevor McGill. Hopefully you know who has outs 21 to 24. That's Abner Uribe. And then those first seven innings, who's got those 21 outs? That's the question the Brewers are going to get. Is Freddie getting 15 outs, five innings? Cool. Then Miz gets three more. That's three. And then Mears gets three, whatever. All that matters is getting outs. And Miz will be on a playoff roster. I just think he's going to be in the bullpen.
So what? And as far as, you know, the positioning, and you said that they're starting to kind of think through that. The Cubs, you know, they're still there. How important is it to kind of stay ahead of the Phillies, or is that not, as long as you're the one or two, do you think Milwaukee's feeling more like, let's just be the one or two and get that bye, or is it we push in to try to get the one?
I think the one or two is the priority. I mean, it'd be nice, no doubt, right, to be the one and get home field advantage, because it seems pretty clear at this point whoever wins the National League is going to have home field advantage in the World Series, because both the Brewers and Phillies have a better record than the best record in the American League. So the point being, the Brewers have the tiebreaker on the Phillies, keep in mind as well. So if they do end up with the same, you know, let's say 98 wins or whatever, the Brewers get the one seed, and means they get home field advantage all the way throughout. Home field is nice to get to have the bottom of the ninth, which is great. This seems the best road team in baseball, and I don't think that's a coincidence, because the Brewers are really good on the road. They're really good at scoring early, big bunching of innings. So priority one is getting the bye, because I think this team can handle it. The bullpen could use the rest. A couple of position players have some nagging soreness. All of that goes into say, just get the one or the two and good things will happen.
All right, Dom, you mentioned Priester, and I saw this stat from Kurt Hogg a couple days ago. The Brewers have won 18 straight games when Priester pitched, tied for the third longest streak in a single season from a primary starting pitcher since 1901. The only two longer streaks, Carl Hubbell and Roger Clemens. you know, I came up in an era when wins and losses by starting pitchers and then ERA were the two things that measured your success, and Pete Vukovich winning a Cy Young and everything else. But this is, talk about giving your team a chance to win every time you go out there. How do you view this stretch from him and what this team did during that stretch?
You know, I had him on my program yesterday morning on Brewers Warm-Up. It's available over on WTMJ.com in my notebook. But the point being for Priester is he's such a good fit for the Brewers, and it reminds me so much of Colin Ray's breakout in 2023 when everybody was truly like, what? You want him to throw 150 innings for you? Why? And you match a guy who pitches to contact and has some ingredients that can make, in the words of Pat Murphy, a really good soup. You know, what ingredients do you want to throw in this year, and how can you change up that soup? And what Quinn Priester does so well is the ball is in play, but the ball isn't hit hard in play. He gets a lot of ground balls. He's a learned command of his fastball that has some inside movement, meaning it's moving in on a righty and away from a lefty, but not being afraid to throw it into lefties. What we call front-hipping a sinker to a lefty is a really important skill to have in baseball, because you know, in the Pirates organization, they didn't teach him how to do that. And he was always throwing fastballs away to lefties, and then boom, it's getting torched. Lefties would destroy him. Now all of a sudden, he's really taking command against lefties, complementing that with a good cutter, things like that. Little things that, like, yeah, he is not striking out 200 guys, but he's got seven defenders behind him that are all way above average defensive players. The Brewers built this team to be successful around Quinn Priester and guys like that, the island of misfit toys, if you will. Other teams are like, how the heck did you figure this out with Quinn Priester? It's like, put a good defense with him and good things are going to happen.
Throw more ground balls. They're more democratic. All right, Dom, we look forward to your next visit with us. We appreciate your insights on this team, because there's nobody better at that than you, and certainly we need the insight, because our level of expertise is definitely not on this team. So thanks for your time. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Plenty of room on the bandwagon, boys. Thanks.
That is Dom Catronio. You can hear him on 620 WTMJ. He just mentioned his podcast, which you can also hear. You can find that on WTMJ's website. And he is presented to us during this Brewers postseason push by Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Thanks to Dom Catronio for joining us and sharing his Brewers insights. Time now for an abbreviated Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back five of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
Jason, I saw you tweeted yesterday you were not a fan of how Fox used AI on their broadcast to share the career trajectory for Aaron Rodgers from the time he was drafted until his start yesterday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why didn't you like it? I thought it was kind of cool.
I thought it was creepy. I'm not pro AI. I know I need to get on board and be prepared for it, but I'm worried about Skynet taking over the world, and then we're going to need Arnold Schwarzenegger to save us from the AI. So, there's video/photos of that in, like, that actually exist, right? We've all seen them all. I'm not sure that we need to do the AI creepy melding version of it. That's just my opinion. If people enjoyed it, great.
Tausch, did you see this, or didn't you
just
stop? Okay.
No, I missed it.
Okay. That's probably a good thing.
Whoa, Nelly!
I missed the Steelers Jets game last week too.
How's the public transit in Alabama though?
Now we're doing Alabama public geography transit. Tomorrow.
Public transit in Alabama.
Whoa, Nelly!
You just a few minutes ago, you
metro size of Birmingham.
Yeah, metro size of Birmingham. That's what he wanted to talk about.
Okay. It's Thanks bigger than the metro area of Madison. I just found that interesting. That's all.
Dean Blandino.
A substantial amount.
Your guy Dean Blandino was brought in as the Fox Rule analyst during the end of the Chiefs-Eagles game to try and break down where the ball should be spotted after a tush push. Sure. And Blandino said, "I'm done with the tush push." Before then trying to share where he thinks the ball might be, but you really have no idea.
Him and Matt Flynn are on the same page.
Tausch, are you team tush push dunzo after seeing the rugby match that was
Jesse,
kind of a football game yesterday?
I said all last offseason it was dumb and it needed to go away. I couldn't have been clearer. The fact that they, in an NFC championship game, were going to award points without actually having to score was absurd. And then everybody tried to blasphemize Mark Murphy and the Green Bay Packers for banning a play that you can't officiate, you can't see anything, and it's boring and dumb to watch. The Philadelphia Eagles ran the tush push 11.3% of their plays in the game yesterday. 11.3% of their snaps were tush pushes. Yeah, that's entertaining. A league that keeps telling us they want to entertain us and they want to do this and this. And player safety? Like, I know they're trying to say it's a safe play. I'm telling you, ask the guards and the nose tackles and guys. Oh, boy, yesterday they're bickering about the Eagles guards jumping off sides. And they did. And you can't call it or you didn't. One of the Chiefs guys tried to punch the football early. I don't know how the fumbled snap didn't happen. Like, it's a complete blank. And everybody knows it, and it's a joke, and it's not an entertaining play, and it's dumb, and they keep going with it because this is the last year it's going to happen. And if something bad is going to happen, and it's going to be shame on y'all for not getting rid of it when we all knew it should have been rid of last year. And I appreciate our friend Dean coming on air basically saying, who gives a blank? I'm done with it. Now, probably not great for your job because that is what they bring you on there to do. But he doesn't know because he doesn't know. Because you can't tell. So it's just dumb. But does anybody but a Philadelphia Eagle fan think that's entertaining? Because it ain't.
It's not entertaining.
And the ball off a run. Run an old quarterback sneak. Like, just run an old quarterback sneak.
What I don't like about it, and here's the question that I would have for Dino the next time he joins us, and maybe someday he'll be available when Riley finds that right girl to officiate his wedding for him, given that he's also got that ability. My question is, it appears to me that it is an illegal formation now when they're running this. Like, the way the center is lined up, like, he is over the ball. I don't understand why this is even... I don't understand why it's legal the way it's being run now. It's almost as if they have said, you know, kind of like a kid testing their parents. They haven't stopped us from doing this, so now we're going to do this on top of it, right? Like, push the envelope even further. I don't see how this is even a legal play now with the way their alignment is. So, again, it seems like everybody is in the Packers' corner, and they were the ones that, at Roger Goodell's behest, brought this forth. I don't understand how it lost. Do the Eagles have that powerful of a lobby? Like, how did Jeffrey Lurie get enough teams to vote against it, against banning, so they could keep it? I don't understand it. Don't get it.
I legit think they brought Jason Kelce in, and he swayed a few votes because it was right up against it. You had to get 24 of the 32.
Correct.
And I think they ended up with 22.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand from the league standpoint. they always want entertainment, and you want to be able to officiate things, and you can do neither in this case. Right. It's just, it's dumbfounding, and the fact that you can take it to the bank. This play's gone after the season.
Yeah,
gone.
What I don't understand too is that they moved the extra point because the extra point was too automatic. They didn't want plays that were automatic. They've messed around with the kickoff because it felt like a touchback was always automatic. But this they've left in place. So it's inconsistent. That is our abbreviated Woe Nelly. Tausch needs to tell us even whether he's mixing it with Robinade, Gatorade, Tauschade, his love of Tito's.
Great weekend if you're out at the apple orchard, if you're watching football, if you were grilling out, whatever it was, make sure it's a Tito's in your cup. You can have the Bloody Mary. You can be out golfing and have the transfusion. Whatever it is, make sure it is Tito's in your glass. And you know what else? Besides its great taste, what makes it great? They give back in the community and partnering with nonprofits all across our country, and especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
We will wrap things up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Update from practice, and then Matt LaFleur talking around 12:40, so I'm headed over to Lambeau after our show ends. Four players not practicing that are still on the active 53-man roster. Jaden Reed, who it's only a matter of when, not if, he'll land on injured reserve. Bo Melton, Zach Tom, and Aaron Banks not practicing. According to Bill Huber, both Zach Tom and Bo Melton were rehabbing with their helmets, which is a new indicator that they are getting closer to returning, as we are starting to find with their workout schedule. So that is the update from Lambeau. I will be headed over there. Tausch, anything you got for Matt LaFleur before we go?
No. Could not be positioned better through 2 weeks. No, I don't. What do you want me to start writing?
Ask him about the tush push.
It's a good idea.
Oh, the tush push, yeah.
See how that goes over.
Ask about that tush push.
That's it for us today. Rich Eisen is next. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.